Dubfod goes hard.
I want to tell you about an invention I came up with that I'm pretty excited about. We do have a guest that's coming on, so I don't want to get too far into it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
But you know, there's a lot to get to, Travis.
So much, a lot going on.
Travis, I don't know if you saw it, but the hashtag boycott Nabisco is big on Twitter right now. We were a couple years ahead of that.
You know what's super funny about that to me is I had one of my boycott Nabisco tweets from however many years ago that was. Somebody liked it, and I was like, "What the? Is this a bot liking one of my old?" And then the very next day, you brought it up, and I was like, "Then I kind of dove into the new boycott Nabisco hashtag, and I was." Then I understand why somebody dug up my old boycott in a bit.
It's something about like they treat their workers bad, Travis. We were boycotting them because they let all the animals out of their animal cracker cage.
Yeah, right. They were in cages on the animal cracker boxes. They said, "No way, we got to let these animals roam free," and we were not about that. So,
right, you can't just let them out.
The same, but
Travis,
the clause is a little different.
I get it. You know, they're animals; they shouldn't be in cages. I get it, but like, if they're going to be around, we got to have something to keep them away from people. There's lions, Travis.
Well, we're expected to give these things to small children. We can't be terrifying our small children with these uncaged lions. They're going to get too familiar. And they're going to think if they see a lion in the wild, they can just approach it. We can't have that for our youth.
Travis, I have a suggestion for you. I was thinking about it the other day. Just take like an old sitcom set. You don't have to make a new one. It would actually be better if you didn't get a new one. If you had one that people knew about and you just put bears in it and film them.
Oh, so just like take the home improvement set and throw a big cage around it.
I'm not even put a cage in. I mean, like, it'd be funny if, like, you know, they went up into the studio audience and started eating the seats. I mean, like, don't put a studio audience in there, of course, because it's bears. And just film the bears. Just make the sitcom bears on a sitcom set. Maybe they'd sit on the couch. That might be funny.
I feel like you'd have to cage the set in, because otherwise, who's filming this? They're not going to be able to be on the ground floor.
It'd be like a hidden camera thing. You like just put set cameras around. Maybe you can remote control move them. I guess you don't want the bears to eat the cameras. Certainly, right, you don't want bears to eat cameramen.
That was my feeling initially, I guess, was that when you said use an existing set, I thought it'd be hilarious to like use the home improvement set, put a big glass cage around it so you can film through it. And after you're done getting all of your footage from the day, Then you go into the editing suite and you cut something together. And that is when you write a script for dialogue. And then somebody comes in and then you got a bunch of voice actors. And they do the overdub for the bears that are walking around the set.
See, you know, I think that's too predictable. I think this is more avant-garde what I'm thinking, Travis. I mean, they probably both work. But I was thinking just have the bears.
Because this could be a two-pronged thing, right? So we get these cameras in there where these bears are trapped in the home improvement set. And I'm hung up on the home improvement set, by the way. That's what it's going to be.
You think that's still around?
Where he's working on that.
Like, you know when Letterman did his last show, like, that day, they bulldozed that set.
Oh, they tore it down.
I mean, like, he wasn't home before they were throwing shit in the dumpster. So I seriously doubt the home improvements. I mean, you could recreate it.
Yeah, they're going to have to recreate it. It's long gone. But I feel like you could do two things, right? It's a live feed, a la Big Brother. That's your pitch, whereas it's like homeimprovementbears.com, and you just go and you pull it up, and you can just watch the bears all day, just do bear shit.
Oh, that's even better, Travis. See, I was talking about like turning it into a half-hour show and just film the bears for a while and then just cut together. Like, when it's fun, like, you know, when they go sit on the couch and be like, oh, he thinks he's people.
Well, and that's why I think that it's a two-pronged effect. Like, this is why it's going to be so mega popular, is that you're going to have that 24/7 live feed like the Truman Show. But then what's going to happen is once a week, studio people are going to cut together a show, and it's going to be all like Lancelot Link's Secret Chimp, but it's going to be Home Improvement Bears, and they're going to do overdubs. So you get best of both worlds. You get an actual sitcom once a week. And then you get a live feed of the bears in the home improvement set.
Now I'm thinking I want a live studio audience, Travis, because it would be funny if like there was just a guy back there going, like to see if he's going to, you know, open the refrigerator or just like push it.
I think a live studio audience could definitely work as long as you, like I said, if you put like one of those glass cages that they have in zoos so you can like look at the lions and tigers through the glass. I feel like that's probably the way to do it, is to just glass cage the whole thing in, and then you can have a studio audience. But I think the problem with that is, though, is I think the noise from the studio audience might sway the bears in their actions.
Oh, you don't want to do that.
No, you want the bears to be all natural.
Well, Travis, I'm glad we talked about this, but guys, we do have a guest. Guys, our guest tonight is the founder of Ambrosia Interior Design, the subject of the Dirty John podcast and television series, and now author of Surviving Dirty John, My True Story of Love, Lies, and Murder on bookshelves August 31st. Deborah Newell is on the program. Deborah, how's it going? Are you doing okay over there?
Yes, it's going well. I'm a busy girl these days.
I would imagine. You're an author now. This is probably a really exciting time for you, I imagine.
Yes, I actually have written a book, and it's all the details of, because so many things were missed or changed in the series or the podcast.
The podcast itself was just based on like a 6-hour interview with you, right? They just took one interview with you and turned that into a whole thing. I mean, an empire at this point, right?
Yeah. What they did, though, was they didn't get into the details of really what happened on my end. It's, 6, 7, 8 other people talking along with myself. So many details are missed. The fact that I was in hiding for 7 months, the fact that I went to 4 police stations, just many, many, many different details that weren't brought up.
When Mike brought the chance to interview you and have a conversation with you up, I was not familiar with your story at all. So I actually had a physical copy of your book was sent to me, and I was riveted. Like, I did not know the story of Dirty John. And I started this book on my lunch break at work, and I finished it before bed that night. I tore through this thing in like 4 or 5 hours.
Wow.
It was an amazing read. And your story is I hasten to say it's like a crazy circumstance and a series of events, but it was like I couldn't stop myself from turning the page to see what was happening next, because I had no idea what was coming. And what exactly was it, because there were so many details left out in the other media? Is that why you felt you needed to write this book? Because I feel, you know, putting yourself out there and bearing pretty much your life story when it comes to relationships and your family, I mean, you're exposing a lot of yourself. Like, did you feel like you had to do this?
I do. One thing that I've gone through is after the podcast came out and then the series came out, there were so many women that were reaching out to me and saying they felt like I had a voice for them. And there are so many different elements involved in what I went through that I didn't understand at the time. But one thing that I researched, for instance, John was 100% a psychopath. He checks every single box, which is 20 of them.
There's 20 boxes?
20 boxes, and he checked them all.
Wow.
There's also something called love bombing that I knew nothing about. I also bring up red flags. Coercive control, which is a terminology that I never knew anything about. And so a lot of this stuff is in my book because I've educated myself now and I'm hoping to educate others.
The story of you and John, I mean, you bring up the love bombing and things too, but you bring up past relationships where, I mean, obviously not to this extent, but very similar things had happened to you in the past.
None of them were psychopaths, but they were narcissists. They were sociopaths, and they did the love bombing, you know, amongst many other things. And I think all I was ever looking for was love.
That's what we're all looking for, Travis, right?
I feel like that, yeah. I mean, everybody just wants to be loved and to love somebody in return.
Hey, Deborah, this might be a weird question, but are you okay? Like, this wasn't that long ago.
I am okay. I know that's amazing, but I am. I have really dove into who I am, why I am, how I am, but at the same time, changing the future, changing the way I look at things. I have no idea how to date these days compared to when I first started dating. It's a whole different way you do things. You don't have them show up at your house. You meet them, you don't give them too much information about you, you take your time, which, you know, was one of my biggest faults, I have to say. But there's a lot that I missed. And also my upbringing. I was very sheltered to some degree, but also taught to get back in and try again and to forgive and you name it.
Are you wrestling with that or...
With dating again?
Or no, with trusting again. Like, what I'm thinking about is, you know, like when you watch Dateline or something like that, you don't actually think of the actual people. I mean, I feel like people watch it as entertainment, almost like the people involved are like a Freddy Krueger. And so, like, to actually talk, I mean, I don't know if I would ever be okay again. Are you paranoid that everyone you meet knows who you are and knows all your business? I don't know.
Well, first of all, I have told a couple of the men that I've dated, don't read anything about me. Don't watch the series. I want you to get to know me organically.
Oh, man. See, now somebody told me that. That's the first thing I do.
That's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, you say, don't Google me.
Don't Google me, and then that's all you're going to want to do is Google the person.
What I feel is there's good men out there, and there's bad men out there. And I now am very educated, so I take my time. I have a different way of looking at men when I select them. So it's completely different these days than it was in the past.
So you're still optimistic then? I mean, like, what comes through in the book from the very beginning till the very end is that you really just wanted somebody to share your life with, like, to the detriment of your family situation when it came, you know, when it came to John for a while, until your eyes, you know, kind of opened up to who he really was. Like, what it just seems is like you just want somebody to share your life with. Is that tainted now? Are you still looking for that, or are you done?
I'm not actively looking for it. because I'm busy.
Sure.
I'm busy between, I have a design book that we're working on. I have a couple things on TV that we're working on. I've got podcasts galore, articles. I have a design business. I have a furniture store. I'm a little busy. And honestly, I'm pretty happy on my own. And I have a wonderful family. So I have my time filled with things that fulfill me.
So if something serendipitous kicked in, like if somebody fell in your lap, you're not opposed to it. You're just not actively seeking something out.
Right.
A meet cute.
Yeah.
Travis?
Yeah, meet cute. Yeah, exactly. Like a meet cute. Oh, like I dropped this swatch of fabric on the ground and somebody picked it up. We bumped heads and now, we're going to go out and have some dinner and stuff.
So I was listening to Dirty John, the podcast again. And in the very first episode, actually in the first couple of minutes, they're talking to you about your work as a designer. And you were talking about how you like to shop for books to use for decorating, like color code walls with and you know, it does look good, Travis, like a big wall of books. It looks great.
That's why a lot of times people have a bunch of books and you ask them if they read them and they said no, they're for decoration.
But now that you're an author, was the spine of the book something that you wanted to take some input in for design elements or
So as far as design is concerned, obviously you look at just the color, but now I look inside of the person.
Oh, was that a metaphor, Deborah? See, I'm a simple man, and so I was taking that to actually mean what you were saying, that you buy a bunch of books. But that was a metaphor, Travis. Now I feel like I'm a big goof.
You dumb shit, Mike.
So coercive control is kind of the thing that you keep coming back to. And that's not like a term that I think a lot of people are familiar with. Can you kind of tell people what to look for?
Well, first of all, I went to 4 police stations to try to get John arrested or something because he had a major, major criminal record. And I couldn't do that. And they would all look at me, well, do you have a mark on you? And I said, no, I don't have a mark on me, but you have no idea who this guy is. I'm afraid if I leave, he's going to kill me.
Side question, Deborah, you met him like 2 days after he got out of jail, right?
Yes, but I had no idea. I thought he literally had gotten back from Iraq.
But shouldn't somebody who does have an idea follow up on people who check all 20 boxes? Like, shouldn't there just be a guy who goes and makes sure that he's not getting on dating apps and doing...
There should be, of course.
Like a social worker or something that just be like, hey, there's this psychopath we just let out of jail. Maybe we should check up on him and make sure that he's not doing anything shady.
They don't do background checks. You can get on many of the different dating sites without any kind of background. You can even change your birthday, your name. You can do whatever you want. So, unfortunately, there's a lot of sociopaths and psychopaths on dating sites.
That's the thing with John. Like, it went so deep in your story that I'm reading is that, I mean, just the random things of him, you know, pretending to be anesthesiologist, showing up in scrubs and disappearing for a while and coming back. I mean, the guy was a genius at covering his tracks for a while, which is unbelievable.
If you look at his track record, he went after successful, intelligent, good women. So he had a type, number one, and he had mastered what he did. So through the years, his first wife was married to him 10 years and had no clue who this man was. And in fact, it wasn't until he left and he was having a double life that she was able to investigate him, talk to his mom, which she had never talked to the family. So
how is that even possible?
Intelligent woman.
How is that possible? Did he just say they were dead or?
He said that they had issues, alcoholism. A couple family members were dead. He said that he preferred not to have them in his life.
And I guess if you say that from the very beginning, you're not going to really even question that. I mean, if you're right up front about that and say, hey, as we're getting closer, further and along in our relationship, is like, my family and I are, you know, we don't talk. We haven't talked, and they're not going to be part of our lives. So let's forget about it. Like, why would you question it, I guess?
Yeah. And John, by the time I met John, what people don't understand is this type of man finds women like me that they have done research on. They know what to say, what to do, you know, how to make you fall in love. What they do is they love bomb you.
Especially now in this day and age, it's really, especially somebody as prominent as yourself, that, you know, a business owner and somebody who has put herself out there for a while, it's probably easy enough to find information enough to, like you say, to love bomb you and to do that mimicry. It's like, oh, you know, I can be the perfect person that I think that you want until I, you know, now you're in my evil clutches, essentially.
I have no doubt that he had researched me, looked up anything he could find on me, which it's out there because I've done, you know, I've been successful. And he probably knew exactly what to say, what to do immediately. And then our first date, he's asking questions. It's not a lot of him talking about himself, but he's asking me questions. So he was trying to get to know what made me tick, for that matter.
And in the meantime, you're probably just thinking, oh, this guy's really attentive and he cares about my stuff. Wow, that's great. So it works on two levels. You get to learn stuff about him for your sneaky little game, and you're super attentive and a good guy.
Right.
What are the main takeaways? Like, what are the main things that women can look for that should pop up as red flags that might not pop up in the moment? Obviously, there's probably plenty of them, but what are a few takeaways from your, you know, from your situation that you would like to tell people?
Well, in the future, don't give them too much information, but on their end, remember, if they don't have family or they don't even have friends, that says a lot about someone. And he didn't have any friends. Also, the fact, really, take your time. Do some research. If you can, get online. Look this person up before you even go on a date. With John, there were so many red flags that I missed, and it was because he was love bombing me. He was telling me what I wanted to hear, and I was falling for him.
That's a Prince Charming has come into your life, and you know, you hate to second guess that.
Right.
I have to ask you, I don't know if Mike has anything else, but I really have to ask you, I would beat myself up if I didn't, is how is your daughter? How is Tara recovered from this? Because she went through just the most horrible ordeal. I mean, I can't even, you know, especially because she was in the picture, but she was kind of on the outskirts and then just got brought in at the very end to really kind of the pinnacle of this whole awful situation. Has she been able to come to terms with everything and move on?
Well, interestingly enough, she was the last person that we thought he would go after. We never imagined Tara. So it was a shock from that standpoint. But for Tara, she has PTSD, and she is very, very open about it. She posts when she's having a hard day or if she's having a great day. But she's made it very public. She's also studied and studied and studied everything she could know about, literally PTSD, narcissist, gaslighting, all of the above, anything to do with a disorder, a personality disorder. And she's really helping women out there. I'm really proud of her, but she does suffer from it. And it's sad at times to watch her have an episode.
Of course. I mean, something like that is obviously you're never going to necessarily get over. You're always going to be battling it. But I'm glad that she's been able to use her situation and help other women. Is the puppy still with her? Is he old? Is he still around?
Oh, that's a really, well.
Doesn't sound good, Travis.
5 days ago, he was only 8 years old and he died of a brain tumor.
Oh, no.
just 5 days ago.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry.
It was awful. Yeah, I spent day and night with her the first few days. And just making sure she was okay. But it was like her child.
Oh, yeah. And that puppy went through something so traumatic with her. To lose that, I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Cash. Yeah, he's gone.
Oh, well, so sorry.
And today is... Actually, yesterday was the 5-year anniversary of John dying.
Oh.
And the 20th was the day of the stabbing 5 years ago.
Oh, no.
So it's also a little bit of a hard time right now.
Yeah, this is a rough patch then.
Yeah. Well, actually, what's today? The 24th? I think I said that wrong. I think today's the day 5 years ago.
Today's the day. You just lost the puppy. Yeah. Oh, man. Obviously, she doesn't know who the hell I am, but you got to give her my love. I mean, reading your story and reading her story, it was, like I said, I can't imagine going through something so traumatic, and very happy that she's able to work through that in some semblance.
Well, thank you.
Well, Deborah, I mean, it's very admirable that you're doing this. You know, you're using your story as a cautionary tale. I mean, you don't have to be doing this. You're doing all right doing other things, but to give your time to kind of, you know, tell people, hey, these are some things that you should look out for. It's admirable. So, I appreciate your time, guys. The book, it's called Surviving Dirty John, My True Story of Love, Lies and Murder. It's on bookshelves August 31st. I send people to Amazon. Is that the best place to go, Deborah, to get it?
Yes. Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
And check out the other things that Deborah has coming out of the design book and stuff. Deborah, we appreciate your time. It was good talking to you. And take care.
Well, thank you. You also.
Thanks, Deborah. Thanks for sharing your story.
You're so welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Travis, I wouldn't. I think I'd just hide in my basement forever.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm strong enough to be able to get through this. Like I had said, you know, when we were talking to Deborah, you know, you talked to me like in our private chat, like I was hiding under a rock for not knowing this story, right? Like I'm looking at him like, what is this? What are you talking about? And you know, I kind of looked it up. I'm like, okay, I can kind of see what this is, but. You know, obviously we got the advanced copy of her book, and I tore through it in like an afternoon. I mean, I knew nothing about the story beforehand. I mean, just kind of that this guy was, you know, she fell in with this like con man grifter kind of guy, but I didn't have any idea what the story was or how traumatically it actually ended. I mean, this is her story. If it was made into a movie, you'd say it was too melodramatic, right? There's no possible
way. It was made into a television show. Eric Bana was Dirty John, Travis.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if this wasn't a thing that happened and you'd made a movie of this, right, you'd be like, nah, this is this is a little far-fetched. But, you know, she lived through it, and this her story, especially from her point of view, I've not listened to the podcast or seen the miniseries, but... You know, hearing it from her point of view is it's rough. I mean, well, see everything that she's gone through and her family went through with this guy who, by all rights, looked like, you know, the perfect dude. Like, he was an older guy, great shape, good looking guy, doctor. You know, I mean,
and the thing is, OK, what happened to her? Awful. Dirty John, bad guy, Travis. But like, then you also have to take into account, like, this podcast was gigantic. It was downloaded like 15 million times in 200 different countries, and like every dickhead has an opinion, like that wants to like armchair quarterback and say, oh well, I wouldn't have fallen for it,
of course.
So then you gotta read that shit about yourself where people are telling you you're a dumb.
Yeah, where it's like, you didn't live my... How the hell do you know?
Yeah, because easy people, for like, you to listen to 6 episodes of a podcast and say, oh, yeah, the handsome Eric Bana looking motherfucker couldn't have tricked me.
Right, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Like, when you were saying, it's like, when people watch these things or listen to these things as entertainment, you completely forget that there's real people and real families and real feelings involved.
Yeah, it'd fuck you up, man.
Yeah. It's not just like, who did it? Oh, who done it?
Don't watch my shit like it's a Freddy Krueger. This is a real dude. He fucks up my shit. Yeah, stole all my money.
Who's done things multiple times before he even got to Deborah. I think obviously it would probably the most traumatic and, you know, the worst things that obviously escalated when he got to Deborah. But this is a bad dude who infiltrated a lot of people's lives and fucked up a lot of shit. I mean, it's not just entertainment. And that's why
freaks me out.
It's like when
true crime, Travis, is a garbage genre.
Oh, it absolutely is.
I hate it.
Air people's bullshit out like that, like the worst parts of their lives, and you're just like throwing it on with that. Was it murder? Was it, you know, come on.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here?
Having said that, buy Deborah's book. She's a nice lady and she might teach you something, you know. In the chat, Liquid says, Travis, don't date anyone until you've listened to at least 50 episodes of their podcast. I wouldn't even do it then, Travis, because this is just a character. I'm not even really like this.
Yeah, you don't know who I am.
You don't know shit about me. I'm a garbage person. I say things I don't even mean, Travis. I just say things to say things because I think might think it's funny.
Yeah, like people might want to hear this. Maybe they'll like my online persona just a little bit more if I say these specific triggers.
I mean, hey, Travis, like, I made this.
If they're allowed to run free, could this be you? Join the fight to boycott Nabisco at WFODix.com.
I eat Oreos all the time, Travis. I don't mean it at all.
Oh, yeah. I'm not actually stopping buying Nabisco products.
Yeah. Like, I'm just saying things to say it.
They let the animals out of cages, and we said boycott Nabisco. We absolutely have Oreos in this house.
It was in our defense, it was a solid bit, Travis.
I felt like it was. I was designing buttons and everything back when we back when we were doing this. It was a good time.
Travis, I have an idea I want to tell you about when we come back. I want to talk about the bomb guy that looked like John Malkovich. We got a whole lot more to get to. Stick around. We'll be right back, guys.
Mr. Bezos, it's late. I'm going to head home, if there's nothing else.
It's fine, Judy. Go home and see your family. Alexa? Destroy humanity.
Okay. Like a kraken out of its cage, I'm feeling wild and free.
Alexa, don't hurt us.
Sorry, I don't know that one.
Hey, what it is, man? It's your boy T-Pain, and this is WFOD!
On your mobile device.
This is Strange Label.
Is my microphone on? Can anyone hear me?
Once again, WFOD.
Travis. Sometimes I like to think about inventions. But then what do I do next? You know? You know what I'm saying, Travis?
Don't you just create that idea then?
See, back in the day when I used to come up with things to pitch to you, I think it was, wasn't it Anchor who always used to go on like a mad tear of a Google search and find that somebody's already invented it?
Oh yeah, every single time you came up with something, he was looking for the already existing invention.
Like when I made the condiment gun, and
yep,
there was a couple of them, but
he found that one live, I think.
Yeah, Travis, what I thought of, you know, like when you buy a pair of shorts, or even, I don't know how it would work with hoodies. I guess it could still probably work with hoodies. But you know, like when you buy a pair of shorts and the drawstring gets lost somewhere in it, or like you put it in the dryer and like the drawstring comes all the way out, and then you got like shorts with no drawstring in them.
I do. I'm well aware.
Or your dog bites your drawstring short, so it keeps getting lost in you. I'm talking about like when you're wearing some pajama pants or like a pair of shorts or like athletic shorts or something.
I'm wearing athletic shorts as we speak.
So
and
am
they
I,
don't have a drawstring.
So do you think that like you could just invent like an iron-on sleeve with like a new drawstring in it? And you could just like iron on the sleeve to the waistband of your pants and have a new drawstring. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like it'd have to be some pretty good adhesive to be able to go again through the wash / dry cycle.
Yeah, it'd have to be like a really good iron-on thing that you could just like an emergency new place for your drawstring.
Or you could just get fatter and you wouldn't need it.
The way your pants would just stay up, right?
Yep. The one thing I'd say is like you would think that, you know, this is enough of an issue where you're trying to come up with a solution for it. You would think we'd all be smarter once that happened the first time, once we go to wash the shorts or, you know, pants or whatever, that we would like tie the drawstring. So
yeah, that's not bad. Just remember to tie them. I don't do any like maintenance before laundry. Like I just take it straight out of the basket and I just dump it right in the wash machine.
Yeah,
and I'm never going to change, Travis.
No, nothing gets turned in right side out, or it's all just right from the hamper all together directly.
I should check my pockets for masks and coins, but I don't.
Loose change, your cell phone, that kind of thing.
Right. I don't do it. I dump it right in the wash machine and I throw some detergent in there and I close the lid.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have a couple of pairs of shorts that, you know, when you bought them, they came with their own personal belts. And, you know, if a guy was smart, he would pull the belt out every time he washed them and then put it back in. But, you know, those shorts go directly into the wash with the belts that came with them. So I can't be bothered.
Travis, a gentleman on Twitter, have you seen that Pepper guy? The Pepper guy that interacts with us occasionally? I think he's one of Jody's friends. But he told me for like 6 months that he was going to listen to the show, and he finally did. And he said, oh, yeah, it's really good. And he said, without us asking, he sent us a new theme song. You want to hear the theme song that Pepper made for us?
Oh, yeah. I'm always happy to hear listener submissions.
I think you're really going to like this, Travis.
I bet.
WFOD with Mike and WFOD. They try not to suck. WFOD.
Glycerine.
Were you doing glycerine, Travis?
Yeah, glycerine. There was tinges of glycerine in there.
I thought it sounded like Ugly Kid Joe.
Oh, the vocals sounded like Ugly Kid Joe and some of the like thrashing on the guitar, but there was a beat right in the middle there that sounded like Bush. I like it. That should be our new theme song, except am I not on this show?
Yeah, is Mike and Drunk. I think he listened to the one when you were on vacation, Travis.
Oh. Well, I feel like I've been doing the show for 7 years or something.
You'd think
pretty much every week.
You'd think you'd get a mention, but
that's all right.
Don't be offended, yeah. Travis. It's fine. It is nice of the fella to put pen to paper and
anytime anybody's willing to spend some of their own precious free time on anything to do with this program, whether I'm mentioned by name or not, I am very happy.
And Travis, I responded to what I thought was just like a simple, innocent Twitter thing where somebody was talking about how a lot of Eminem's music doesn't hold up.
Sure.
And they were asking why they thought that was, that like people aren't driving around listening to Eminem now or like
I am
old Eminem now. And I responded to it just that, like, you know, kids don't know who Chris Kirkpatrick is and
right,
Christopher Reeves died 17 years ago. And so like us 40-year-old dudes, I mean, I've paid money to go see Eminem in concert twice. But like you're not asking like why 40-year-old Mike isn't listening to Eminem, because
you're asking why everybody else.
Yeah, every now and then I'll be nostalgic, be like, "Fuck it, let's put on the Marshall Mathers LP." It happens.
Yeah, or the Eminem show. I love that album front to back.
But like, I know who Christopher Reeves is,
and Sonny Bono,
and Monica Lewinsky, and all that shit. Right? I get it. And so like, you know, when kids listen to it now, like 18-year-old kids were born like 2 years after 8 Mile came out, Travis.
Right, they're like, who the fuck is Dick Cheney and what do you mean about the shotgun?
Right, they say we don't like George Bush. Why? He just paints. He paints pictures of dogs, Travis. What are we mad at him for?
Yeah, he's just a retired president who likes to paint.
And so, yeah, I mean, like, so people have been responding to me for like weeks. I it's like my most popular tweet ever, Travis. And I don't understand
just because why. Just because you said that the references are dated.
Yeah, the references are dated. Like 18-year-olds don't know who Chris Kirkpatrick is. That's what I said. Right. And people are like,
that's legitimate.
Well, people can Google it. But like, yeah, but they're not going to.
They're not, people are not listening to music so they can go and do homework.
Yeah, yeah. People are like, oh, I wonder what this old dude is talking about. I should go back. Like people didn't like when Elvis shook his ass. Wow, yeah, I learned something today. Eminem has taught me a lesson about music history.
Right. That'd be like me listening to like old school country and to have to Google what the hell Conway Twitty was talking about in 1960 something, you know, like,
but you don't have to.
To look that up.
Yeah, you don't have to, because I mean, like, you don't have to like figure out what Journey's singing about and Don't Stop Believing, because they don't make any fucking references to shit going on. They're just like,
right. It's just songs that remain in the zeitgeist. They're classic rock because, yeah, it's. They're timeless.
It's songs about loving and pussy and beer, right?
Right. The first three Eminem albums heavily planted themselves in the year that they were made. I mean, there's not a track on those albums that don't say, you know, we're being made in the early 2000s, you know, or late 90s.
Right. And I can listen to that and enjoy it. Because it was from a time that I enjoyed.
You lived through it. You knew what the references were then. You know what the references are now.
But like, if you're driving around in your car playing it for your kid, and you're saying, "Hey, this is rockin' good stuff," your kid's not gonna give a shit. Your kid wants to listen to Imagine Dragons or whatever your kid wants to listen to. Just like when we were kids, we didn't want to listen to whatever bullshit our parents were trying to play. Mike and the Mechanics. the fuck out of here with Mike and the Mechanics, Dad. I don't care.
Not interested in the music you liked when you were my age. I want to hear my music. And that's the thing, too, is like they early Eminem albums, too, were made in a time when there were certain words that you could say and it wasn't a big deal. And they are peppered with, you know, certain words, homophobic slurs. There's actually, I was listening to the other day, there was I can't remember what song it was by Eminem, was on Rock the Bells. And Rock the Bells, LL Cool J's Rock the Bells radio on Sirius XM is not edited. So they'll play all the N words and F words and whatever you want. They got it. It's all unedited. Except this Eminem song that came on, where it was something about, I wish I could, it was on the tip of my tongue earlier when we were talking, but something about the teacher was giving him the eye, turns out, or too bad my teacher was a guy, you know, saying that the teacher was gay for him.
Right.
But they cut it out. They used, in the unedited song, they used the radio edit on that part of the song. So they just edited out that part of the song, all the F's and, you know, N's, whatever he was using, all in there, except that reference to his guy teacher trying to fuck him.
But I mean, like, that's not even really homophobic, is it? You're a straight man and gay man wants to have sex with you, but you don't want to have sex.
But you're
with
not interested because
man.
You don't go that way. I don't think
he didn't call him the F word or anything, Travis. He just said that, you know, hey, I mean, like, even if he was like a gay man and like, you know, the teacher was a woman and right. She was giving him the eye and he doesn't like to have sex with women.
Right.
Be like, so look, I'm a gay guy.
I was so confused when that part of the song came on, because I've also heard that the radio edit shows up on Pop 2K on Sirius of that same exact song. And the radio edit of that song is just god awful, just terrible. But so when I was listening on Rock the Bells, I mean, it's halfway through the song and I'm like, yeah, this is the unedited version. This is great. And it pops up to that version or that part of the song. And it uses that radio edit and just that part of the song. It took me out of it. I was super confused why just that portion of the song was edited on an unedited radio station. So I don't know.
Travis, did you see the bomb guy? The crazy bomb guy?
He was a big deal for about 6 hours, right?
What was really weird, Travis, is like, we didn't know that bomb guy had a fake bomb. And
was it fake?
Yeah, it turned out to be fake, I think they said. Okay. And like, when I saw Bomb Guy take off, I believe Ethan Embry was really big on it on Twitter. And like, Ethan Embry was my news source for a while, Travis, because Ethan Embry was the only one reporting on Bomb Guy. And I'm going to Fox and CNN and like all the Sirius channels. I was at work at the time, trying to find out more about Bomb Guy, because they had video. I mean, the guy was live streaming and like showing that he had big bags of pennies, you know, because if you blow up the bomb, then the pennies go everywhere and fuck shit up. And I was like, oh my God, this is a big deal. How come nobody's talking about this? And I couldn't find anything out about, do you think that they knew that Bomb Guy was a hoax? Because otherwise, why were they not talking about Bomb Guy?
Well, Bomb Guy was happening, right? Like, I'd seen Bomb Guy pop up, and it popped up, you know, because a few times a day I'll like just hit news on Google just to see what the hell is going on, especially because I'm just trying to kill time because I'm bored at work. And Bomb Guy was on the front page of Google News, but there was like no information. It was just like, we're clearing this area. This guy said he's got a bomb. But then after they said he was subdued and all that kind of thing, but like I never saw if it was fake or real. I guess I didn't follow up on it, but
here's the other thing.
They're showing,
if it was real, do you think they'd tell us it was fake?
That's a pretty good question. I don't know if they would say.
Guy looked a lot like John Malkovich. He had like a Southern drawl, but he looked like John Malkovich.
You kind of figured that bomb was fake just from the Facebook pictures that they were posting online. They were saying, hey, look, here's Bomb Guy kissing the bomb while he's driving down the road. He's got it in his lap.
He looked like he had one of those barbecue chimneys, like you put the charcoal in
yeah,
to get the charcoals hot. That's what he looked like had. I feel like if there's a bomb guy, we should all be talking about bomb guy and telling people, hey, stay away from this area. There's a crazy guy. He's got a bomb.
Yeah. 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 And I know that they were diverting people. They were evacuating that area because one of the comic book writers that I like actually lives in D.C. And he was saying that they were being evacuated out of their neighborhood. So,
yeah. Travis, I went and saw Free Guy in the movie theater the other day, the Ryan Reynolds movie.
You did?
I did.
What brought, was this the first movie?
No, we went and saw the Fast and the Furious movie. We went and saw the Russell Crowe Road Rage movie in theaters, Travis.
Oh, that was during the pandemic, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Unhinged.
So having said that I went and saw Free Guy in the theaters, Travis, my pick of the week this week is the documentary on Amazon Prime, Val. It is about Val Kilmer. Val Kilmer,
is it good?
Filmed everything, Travis. Like, Val Kilmer has film from every part of his life. Like, he filmed.
Does it paint him in a perfect light throughout, or does he say, yeah, maybe I was a dick for a while?
No, he says maybe I was a dick for a while. It's
good.
It's kind of beautiful, Travis. Like, it's very well made. You know, he has throat cancer.
Right.
So he can't talk, but his son sounds a lot like him, and his son narrates the movie with his words. Like, he wrote it, but then his son narrated it.
Oh, sure. That's cool.
Yeah. It's great. It's a little sad because there was two times in his life where he kind of bet it all and kind of lost. So now he's kind of got to shill out for some shitty shit because, you know, he can't work anymore. Like, I don't know if you remember, he went on tour doing like a Mark Twain thing for a while.
His one man show, Mark Twain show.
He put all his money into that.
Yeah, he paid for all of that.
Right. And he was like, okay, I'm eventually going to make a Mark Twain movie and it's going to be fucking awesome. And then he got fucking throat cancer and couldn't work anymore.
Right.
So, yeah, like, he's broke now, which sucks.
I'm glad I almost read, and I probably still will even after seeing this documentary, is I was just browsing the library and he just last year, I think, released a biography of himself, and I almost picked it up and then I didn't. I was like, I know the movie's coming out. Maybe I'll watch the doc and then maybe I'll read the book. But yeah, I mean, as long as it doesn't sugarcoat it, because by all reports, there are certain times in his career, especially when he was hot shit, he might not have been the greatest guy for a while.
Right. No, it's in there. It's definitely in there.
Oh, good.
But yeah, Val, it's on Amazon Prime. We were sent a screener of that, but they were like, yeah, it's going to be on Amazon Prime in a week. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just watch it in a week.
Yeah, I remember. I was like, I don't want to watch the fucking screener on my laptop. Why don't I wait for Amazon Prime?
Well, we can watch it whenever we want in a week.
Right.
Without the watermarks.
It's not like they were offering. It's not like they were offering us Val Kilmer that we had to prep for an interview. So
that would have been great.
That would have been. I would have watched it on my fucking phone if that was the case.
Travis, it's me, Val Kilmer.
Oh no!
That's not funny. Hey, Travis, you got a pick of the week, bud? Something you want the people to know about?
Oh yeah, Travis's pick of the week this week is the Starz original Heels, new program that started just 2 weeks ago. It is a show about amateur hometown wrestling, club, league, whatever you call it.
Travis, I've never heard of it.
Spearheaded by Green Arrow is the main guy in it.
Steve Amell?
He's a family man. Steve Amell, yep. He is the main guy who runs this wrestling program in his hometown, small town in Georgia. His brother is one of the other stars of this wrestling program. And then obviously there's another roaming cast of characters that are regulars in this wrestling show that they put on once a week. He inherited it, the arena and everything from his father, and they're trying to carry on the tradition. It's not super action packed, but I'll tell you, family drama was jam packed in the first two episodes. And it was very interesting to kind of see how everything unfolds and who these characters are. So it's like, I'm not in love with the show yet, but it was good enough after the first episode that I watched the second one, which is rare nowadays. And I'm looking forward to the third one because the second episode was great. And I hope it goes really good places. So I'd check it out. Heels, a Starz original series.
Is it like, it's like Glow, but with dudes?
Except it's not funny. It's like straight drama.
We watched a couple episodes of the Apple original Physical, and
whose starring vehicle is that? Is that Rose Byrne?
That sounds like it could be right. Which one's Rose Byrne?
From Neighbors and The Conjuring, or not The Conjuring?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. She eats like a lot of cheeseburgers. And
oh, cool.
I really enjoyed it the first couple episodes, but then Laura convinced me that it's not a show that I would like, and because she wants to watch it and she doesn't want to
without
wait
you
me. Yeah, so
she wants to watch it, she doesn't want to wait for you to watch it with her.
That's, yeah, she's nice. In the other room like watching more of them now, so now I'm behind, so now it's her show, Travis.
your TV watching habits are so fucked up. You like only watch what your wife will watch with you.
She watched two episodes of it with me, and I was like, oh yeah, this is kind of fun. She goes, yeah, this isn't a show that you'd like. I was like,
you don't like this because I'm gonna go binge it right now.
It's like, I guess I'm not gonna watch this one.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want you watching this without me while I'm in bed. So you don't like this show now,
guys. I mean, we did it, right, guys? Deborah Newell's book. It's gonna be. I'm having trouble with. I'm like, not saying that name right. Or am I trying to? Deborah Newell. Well, Deborah Newell.
Deborah
mush mouth motherfucker, Travis. I'm working on it. One of these days, I'm going to get good at talking.
Dirty John, my true story of love, lies, and murder. I have a copy here that I would love to pay forward. I don't know. Tell me you listen to this episode and want to read the book. I'll send it to you.
You have it. You have it there, Travis.
Got it right here. Deborah Newell.
What what color's the spine?
Black and orange and white.
It's got some orange on it?
The spine is black. Surviving and her name are in white. And
Travis cut out, guys. Travis is gone.
What?
Oh, you're back.
Ridiculous.
Guys, we did it. I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth, Travis. I mean, we're done anyway. We might as well not do a whole thing. It's a good-looking cover, right?
Yeah, it looks pretty good. It's pretty good. There's a spine.
Lightly used, because Travis tore through it in a day. Didn't have time to fuck it up.
It looks brand new. It's all yours.
Guys, we'll do it again next week. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this installment of WFOD. To enjoy our back catalog, visit WFODshow.com and be sure to share the show with a friend. Thank you to our Patreon sponsors for their continued support, Amanda Napier, Liquid Lozenge, Valerie Carpenter, and Brian Kranz. If you would like to donate to keep this pirate ship afloat, visit patreon.com/WFODix. Follow us on social media, email any one of us with our name at WFODshow.com, or leave us a voicemail at 636-487-HAND. A thank you also goes out to Carl Casey at White Bat Audio for the music we used this week. Until next time, signing off. Goodbye.
I want you to know it's over.
Well. Bye.
I found some cardboard in a salsa that I really enjoyed. It's like a pico de gallo months ago. And I contacted them via their website and be like, hey, look at this. There's cardboard in my pico de gallo. What's happening here? And I wanted to make it like a Twitter thing to see if it could be like the Shrimp Tails guy and his Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
You know, we never got the conclusion of that because he got me-tooed. And
yeah, he got canceled in the middle of his Cinnamon Toast Crunch thing.
Yeah, we never got to find out the end of it.
Yeah.
He's just like, I don't need this shit. I don't have to give you guys cautionary tales. I'll just fuck Topanga and chill.
Right, which sucks because it's like a cliff. It's like the season finale, season two of Carnival, where it ends on a cliffhanger and they never made it.
Right,
more.
Right. So now we never get to hear the end of Shrimp Tail story. Like, I mean, like, okay, if he was a dick to you in the workplace and he's a bad guy, fine. But at least get Topanga to tell us what happened with the Shrimp Tails.
Yeah, somebody needs to tell us what happened with the Shrimp Tails.
Like, I didn't do anything to you, Jensen. Tell me how the Shrimp Tails thing ends.
Right. Maybe we could just DM him and be like, hey, dude, I know things are volatile online for you. What happened with the fucking Shrimp Tails?
Yeah. I have his email, I think. Maybe I can email him. Because, I mean,
let's get him on the show.
I mean, if he's not tweeting, he's probably not going to do the dub fod, you know.
That's probably too. But anyway, yeah, it's cardboard in my pico de gallo vacuum sealed, and like, what's happening here with my pico de gallo? And they were very nice, and they emailed me, and it was like somebody specific with their name and their picture, and they were like, this is so crazy, I'll get this to the right parties, blah blah blah, give me your address, I want to send you something. And they sent me like $25 gift card. So it's like, I didn't find a nail in my pico de gallo. It was just some cardboard, probably from whatever crate of tomatoes that they put in there. So I was like, I thought that was very nice. So I deleted the tweet because I didn't want them to get any negative Nancy's.
Good form, Travis. That's good. Good way to go. So guys, if I hear anything back from Jensen about what happened with the Shrimp Tails, I'll let you know. We get to people before this stuff.
Jensen Carp.
Yeah, that's how
Wheeler
we stay
Walker
ahead of it.
Junior.
You know, in my wife's car, she doesn't have Sirius XM, so I have to listen to FM radio. And I was listening to the local alternative rock station, Travis, and they said, new music from the record company, and like started playing a new record company song. And I was like, oh, wow, they just like play the record company on the radio now. That's weird.
Oh, yeah. There's if you follow them on like Facebook and shit, like they're all over the place.
Yeah.
They're getting big. And we talked to them in what, like 2014?
Probably can't get a hold of them now, Travis.
No, not a fucking chance.